color.
Hello.
What's up?
What's going on?
Trying a new recipe.
Oh, yeah? Kimchi gravy?
Oh, we're going to talk about kimchi gravy.
All right. What's going on? What's the recipe?
I'm having a... it's like a variation of a hot toddy. It's like a hot Ronnie. A hot Ronnie. Ronnie doesn't like gin, though. He drinks natural light. We can't call it that. No, it's apple cider in a gin and tonic.
Apple cider in a gin and tonic.
It is quite delicious.
Does it have the tonic in it?
So what I did is I did half gin.
Oh.
I did quarter tonic.
Of course.
Quarter apple cider.
Ooh.
A splash of lemon. So I just squeezed a little lemon in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I topped it off with a couple of sprinkles of cinnamon.
Jeez.
It is fucking delicious. Damn it, I did it again.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's really good. I am very impressed with
this drink. Did you just make this up yourself?
Yeah, bro.
Look at you.
It is really good. Here's the problem. It goes down too fast.
Too smooth, too fast, too dangerous.
It's like, I don't know if you ever had, what is it, sweet tea vodka? Have you ever had that?
No, that sounds just terrible, because I'm guessing you could get really drunk on that.
Yes, just like this hot Ronnie, you can get very drunk off the sweet tea vodka. I'm sure there's a couple brands by now. The one that started it is Firefly. I believe, Firefly vodka.
I'm thinking Fireball, where they did a cinnamon vodka.
That's Fireball.
Fireball.
It's
okay, gotcha.
Cinnamon whiskey.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So Firefly vodka came out, I don't know, not too long. I want to say like 10 years ago, maybe. It is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I want to say like they're somewhat local to me. I think they're like out near Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, matter of fact, we were at a bar one night. And a Firefly rep was there handing out free shots of Firefly.
I like that.
Yeah. And we had it, and it was delicious. Yeah, this had to be 9-10 years ago, because Zoe wasn't even around yet. But, yeah, it's really good. Here's the bad thing about Firefly vodka. This is not an advertising for Firefly vodka, by the way. Shame on Firefly for not sponsoring this podcast.
Can I take a guess of it?
Yeah.
Is the bad thing about Firefly vodka that it creates tons of little Zoes and boy Zoes running around 9 months later?
Uh-huh.
Shame on them, but let's applaud them. All in the same breath.
Yeah.
Inhibitions go way down with Firefly, trademark Firefly vodka.
So,
2018.
Here's the bad thing. I know we don't like to talk about... terrible hot garbage food like McDonald's. We like to talk about real hot garbage food like Taco Bell. That's delicious. But have you ever had McDonald's sweet tea?
Yes.
All right. So the problem with Firefly sweet tea vodka is that if you take Firefly sweet tea vodka, you put just like a splash of water in it, you shake it in ice, and you put like a tablespoon of sugar, it tastes like a McDonald's sweet tea.
So it's not as sweet as McDonald's sweet tea?
Not as sweet, no. It's not sweet.
Ooh, I might like that, because yeah. I don't like sweet tea.
So that's what I'm saying. You put like a teaspoon of sugar in like, you know, whatever, 4-ounce glass, 6-ounce glass. That's what size they are, right? 6-ounce, 4-ounce? The shake, the whiskey glasses? They're 6-ounce, right?
I don't drink a lot of brown liquid, so.
All right, I'm going to get yelled at by Dennis and Jay. That's okay.
Yes, so you enjoy that.
Whatever size those glasses are, I want to say they're 6 ounces. But, yeah, you just put 1 tablespoon of sugar or teaspoon of sugar in that amount of liquor with, you know, the little splash of water. Dude, it tastes just like freaking sweet tea. It's ridiculous. So you drink like, you know, 3 or 4. And you're like, oh my god, I'm so thirsty. I'm going to drink some Firefly sweet tea vodka. And bam, you're wasted. Yeah.
I don't hear anything bad about this.
Yeah. So I'll bring a bottle of Firefly to C2E2.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't know how well distributed they are in the country. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you can go to your liquor store and get Firefly Sweet Tea Vodka. Disclaimer: you must be 21 years of older to listen to this podcast. If you're not, don't tell your parents, kids. So, yeah, it's really good. I'll bring some.
Good. I
with
like
my
the
cricket
sound
jerky.
Yeah.
Hell, dude, I owe you so much jerky because I promised you jerky 2 years ago, and I totally forgot. And the last year, I didn't get to go. So yeah,
I'm not gonna let you off that hook. The more jerky, the better. Trust me on that.
I know.
I'll happily throw money in there for that. I'll go without a couple art prints for some more jerky.
Yes. So what's new, man? We're supposed to be live streaming this on Twitch, butt ass naked, but we're not doing that because we lied to the audience.
We need elf onesies or a C2E2 German Oktoberfest onesie. So.
Dude, one of these days I'm just gonna start streaming this on Twitch and not tell you.
But then all I'll have is like a microphone as like my look.
Listen, do you think the kids that go on Twitch give two shits? They would just put this on the background. They'd be like, these guys are idiots.
That's true. Yes. Very true.
Yes. But anyways. What's
been up? I got just real curious.
Yes.
Because this happens to me every year. My wife's side of the family, they do a grab bag. And it's like $75 grab bag tops. And I've been yelling at them ever since they started it. Why doesn't, instead of writing down everyone's name and then putting it into a hat, drawing it out, and you can't get your own name, you can't get your spouse's name. Why doesn't everyone write their name on a piece of paper with like four things that they would like?
Hmm.
Instead of the half-ass, oh, I got Kevin, so I have to call his wife and find out what he wants.
This is interesting. Continue. Yes.
So that's my problem. Like, why not everybody just come on Thanksgiving Day, come with your little list. It could be 40 things that you want. And just like, hey, pick. For me, I would list out as many as I possibly can, because then I can't narrow it down to, oh, this is exactly $75. So I know this is exactly what I'm getting. I like to have a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, hey, guess what? If you just want a $75, you know, Amazon gift card, well, then that's what you'll get.
Yes.
But I don't like the half-hearted, hey, can you ask your mom what she wants for Christmas? Just an off coincidence that you're calling to find out what she wants. Oh, I'm sure she can't figure that out. Oh, my God, she Sherlock Holmes figured it out. And it was from me who needed that answer. You know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
But no one wants to do that. Everyone, whatever it is, laziness or whatever.
Huh.
So I actually was reached out. Obviously, Kevin has me in this grab bag.
Sure.
So he reached out and he goes, hey, I need a list of what you want. And I don't know about you. I think I'm in even a better position than you are. You have kids. You have a lot of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You have a cricket farm that you have to create.
Of course.
I don't have that.
Hmm.
So I can pretty much, like, you know, I'm Daddy Warbucks or anything, but
right.
I can, you know, if I want something and it's within the realm of possibility, I could get something. So I'm not wanting for anything. Not that it's not hard to find stuff. The list that I sent him was 25 things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what this is like, I'm curious if you go through this. One, my end result, I sent him a list like Pablo Rivera.
Okay.
Paulo Rivera.
Oh, yeah, Paulo Rivera. Yeah.
He just sent out a tweet yesterday. So I was like, holy shit, this is perfect timing. Like, oh, my print store has been restocked. And if you're interested in original pieces of artwork and covers, you know, such and such has been restocked as well. Like, obviously through his like representation, that's been restocked.
Yeah.
Which, guess what? In the range of $75, I can't afford anything original. But did he have an awesome Spider-Man and Sinister 12? Not Sinister 6. It was like 12 or 16. Sinister 16. And it was just Spider-Man against like 12 or 16 of his villains. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's pretty awesome. And it was like twice as big as my regular prints. So not a poster size, but still, it was damn big. Signed, even though it's just like, you know, one of those like gel glycosine print.
Yeah.
So it's better than a con print for sure. Like suitable for framing. And it was like $60. So it's like, I don't think I would ever buy that. Not that I couldn't, but I just never have. And I don't know if I would. So it's like the perfect present.
Yeah.
You know, for me, a present is not that I couldn't afford it, but would I actually spend the money there, or would I spend it on digital comics? Would I spend it on an awesome dress shirt that I want? You know, it's like other priorities come up. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That thing just falls by the wayside. So I saw that. And then also I saw like the Hard Case Crime books.
Right.
They have a website that you can go on to, this like third party website. And they have put out a lot of the vintage pulp covers in the same like high quality, like glycosine printed prints. They're limited. They're not signed by the artists, of course, because most of the artists are dead. It's from like, you know, the 50s.
Sure.
But still, they're the beautiful, like the one that I put on my list for Kevin was by Glenn Orbick, which I would assume you would recognize the name because he did a lot of covers for a lot of painted covers for Batman No Man's Land. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like just very pulpy and beautiful. Well, I found one. Like I said, it's a perfect gift because I would never spend, I think it was like $65. I would never spend that amount for one thing because I would always have more than that, like above it,
right?
Priority wise. But it's beautiful. My only drawback with it, if you're doing a print of that, like a print of a book cover, I don't want to have any of the text on it.
Hmm.
I want it to be the painting, not the book cover. You
gotcha.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
So that's sort of like, eh. But still, I put Riviera's print above that. So I know I'm not going to get both. He's not going to spend $120. He's going to spend $75.
Right.
Which is fine.
So,
but hold on. I'm almost, the bow's almost wrapped on it.
Oh, and okay, then I want to know
your thing.
Yep.
So then today, I was sitting here before we record, and I'm like, and then I discovered the absolute best. And I want to know your opinion. But for me, this was a no-brainer. It's the perfect definition of a present because I would never spend the money on it. Maybe you're different, but I would never spend the money on it. But would I read the shit out of it? And would I flip through it multiple times, not just one and done?
Right.
And I put 5 of this thing on my list to Kevin. And I even wrote to him. I'm like, did you already order my stuff from yesterday? Because I found 5 other things that I want to put at the top of the list.
Okay.
Before the Riviera print, before any of that stuff. And the things that it was like, why didn't I think of this before? It was one of those, I love them when I get them, but I never ever think to ask for them or buy them. And that's art books. I love them when I get them, and I love seeing them when they're done really well. But all of a sudden, like the thing, it was weird because I was thinking back to our discussion earlier in the week for Nerdy Legion, where Ronnie asked the question, what nerdy thing would you, if space and money was no object, that's where I started to think about gifts, you know, money, no object. Well, I'm not spending any money on this, so that's great.
Right.
But my answer was Brian Boland.
Yeah.
So I went on to Amazon just to see, is there a book? I know there's like the complete Brian Boland Judge Dredd, but those are multiple volumes. Mm-hmm. I've read most of that. And if I was going to get it, sorry, Mike, I would be buying the digital copy of it. But an art book, The Art of Brian Boland, that's where I went. That was right there. So then I started to flip through like people who purchased this also purchased. So I started to flip through that area. And I put The Art of Brian Boland on my list. I put The Art of Joe Jusku on my list. What else? Oh, The Art of Jim Starlin by Aftershock.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I forgot that came out. Yeah. And that's a reprint.
Yeah, I know, but that also, wasn't that the one that was supposed to be a Kickstarter?
It was, but it was a couple years ago.
You're right.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, and trust me, at this point, you know, I'm no spring chicken. So since the price is no object, because they're all under $75, price is no object, I was also looking for page count too.
Right.
Because it's like, well, I want as much either story or text about it, or as many like awesome pictures about it.
Right.
So it was Starlin, Jusku, the Boland one, and then the Mike Grell one. And I think he even did a Kickstarter for that. But that one, the hardback, is, I think it's still available, and it's only like $3 more than the softback. And I love me some Mike Grell, so hell yeah. But it was just like a come to Jesus moment. It was like, oh my God, I would never really buy. I only ever bought one art book, and that was the art book that was based on like the color treatment of Watchmen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By John Higgins.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was because I flipped through it, and guess what? There's a lot of text and a lot of information as well as visual stuff. Like there was a lot written by John Higgins, so I was like, damn, that's cool. All right. And I sort of get a little nerdy for that type of thing.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
So I'm it's really weird that you brought up the Rivera thing, cuz I bought the Justice League one.
Oh, that one is nice.
Yeah.
Good call.
It's not cheap, but I did get it.
Nice.
He's got some great stuff on his store.
Oh my God, some fantastic stuff on his store. Yeah. And some of it's semi-reasonable.
Oh, dude, all of it's really reasonable. All of it.
Yeah, and he signs everything, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the Justice League print that he's got might be the most expensive thing on there.
Gotcha, yeah. I didn't even go to his, whatever is it, Art Cartel rep?
Big Cartel.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. I'm like, I don't even want to know how much the original stuff costs, so I'll stay within my little, you know, world.
Yep.
But did you ever discover anything like that, like doing a grab bag type situation? It's always hard to do.
So we do our Christmas differently, though.
Okay.
Do you guys do that like for the whole family? How do you guys do your Christmas, like present wise?
What do you mean?
Like, do you have like assigned people that you're doing it, or is it just like the whole thing is just like a grab bag mystery thing?
Well, on my side, it's all you're buying a shit ton of presents for everyone. On Liz's side, there's only five of us, and their mother did not want everyone to have to buy presents for everyone. So we started this grab bag. So you get one person.
Gotcha. Okay.
And to be honest with you, I can't believe her mother hasn't caught on, but pretty much no matter who you get, you're still buying another present for the mother.
Right.
Cause it's like, well, we're not on a fixed income. She is. She does a lot for us through the year. So that is one of those like, oh, I just saw this and we threw it in a box. Like, not really, but happy holidays. Yeah. So we don't have a large family like you at all.
Well, so yeah, I mean, my family's not big.
Hers is.
My wife's is.
Yeah.
So the way it works is like with my family, we don't even get each other stuff, like maybe a card. That's about it. But with my wife's family, the way it works is, so we used to do where like you buy all the kids' presents and then you buy all the adults' presents. But then like everyone's carrying like all this shit, right? Half the time you don't even want the stuff that you're getting. So a few years ago we changed it. So the way that we do it now is everybody buys for the kids. Right, it has to be like at least one present per kid from each adult. Sometimes more, right? So like if my wife's aunt wants to get her granddaughter or something at this big thing, then she might get her like three or four things, and some of the other kids might only get like one or two. But like aside from that, not the big a deal, because everyone's doing like their own independent Christmases, right? So the way we do it is, so at the house here, we get the girls a bunch of crap, right? We put some presents under the tree. Those would be our
Sure.
presents. And then the presents from Santa get put on the couch, okay? So one couch are Reagan's presents, one couch is Zoe's presents. And that way they know those are Santa's presents. And then the ones that are wrapped under the tree that have been there for weeks are presents from me and my wife.
Boy, Santa's very organized.
Well, you can thank my wife for that. I mean, Reagan, that's not true. Santa's real. I don't know if Reagan listens. Her friends do.
Jeez.
yeah. So I know I should really watch what I say on this podcast
Yeah, you
because it'll
should.
get back to me at some point. Anyway, so when and then like we like my wife and I don't really get each other anything anymore. Like she buys what she wants and I buy what I want and then we just wrap it. You know what I mean? I mean, like sometimes there might be a surprise, but not like generally.
Sure,
So, all
sure.
right. So when we go to, so that's our Christmas at home. When we go have our Christmas at my wife's family's house. So it used to be at her grandma's house. Now it's all done at my wife's aunt and uncle's house. And so everyone gathers there. And the way that we do it is everyone buys for the kids. They buy whatever they want for the kids. Okay.
Of course.
There's like no real restrictions. But in terms of adults, we try to limit it. So like we'll do a present per couple, right? So like my wife's aunt and uncle will get one thing from us, and then like her parents will get one thing from us, and her aunt and uncle will get something else. Like her grandma might get something, but we try not to overdo it, right? And I mean, like there's no like real price restrictions or anything like that. But everyone just
Sure.
tries to do something simple. 'Cause I mean, like, we're all grown ass motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
the Christmas is not about grown ups. It's for kids.
No,
So
exactly.
you do it just kind of as a tradition thing. But it doesn't have to be anything fancy. So and generally it's all for the couples, right? So like my wife and I might get like I don't know, freaking screwdriver set or something, right?
Right.
But we're not gonna get like. She's not gonna get, I don't know, what would she use? Like a new hair dryer, and I would get like pajama pants. Like that generally wouldn't happen at this thing. Now,
Sure.
the thing is, after this, oftentimes we'll go to her parents' house and have a third Christmas. So like her parents would have bought like me something, like I don't know, a flashlight, and my wife bedroom shoes, right? Like slippers or whatever. And then maybe like something for us together, like I don't know, a popcorn air popper. All right, I told Jack I was going to bring that up on the podcast because it's very pretentious.
Yes, it is.
It is the most pretentious thing I've ever heard, by the way. Like,
Love it.
and we talk about some really pretentious crap on this podcast, but let me tell you, the fact that there is a popcorn machine that pops popcorn without any oil or anything. And I'm not talking about like instant popcorn. I'm talking about like real popcorn kernels that you would like have to put on the stove and pop. But this machine does it, an air popper. Anyways, Jack, you win the pretentious person award of the year. All right,
Congratulations.
congratulations. So, and so that's the way it goes. So, I mean, the kids love it, right? Because they're getting a shit ton of Christmases, right? And Zoe really loves it because she has Christmas here, Christmas at my wife's aunt's house. Christmas at my wife's parents' house. She's got Christmas with her mom. She's got Christmas at her mom's husband's like family. My dad sends her presents. You know what I mean? Like she gets like 15 Christmases.
Yeah, it's Christmas month.
It's Christmas month, so she loves it. But for us, we don't care. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. I swear to God, I'm gonna put this on record on this podcast. If I don't get some goddamn pumpkin pie at Christmas, I'm gonna be very upset.
You listen up, Heather's family. Damn you. jerks.
Some of them listen every once in a while.
Well, we'll put you on blast. Nelson, get him a pie.
Nelson, get me a pie. My dad sends us, like, random crap.
Does.
What did he send last year? It was, like, some, like, chocolate thing, maybe, or something. Which, of course, like, the kids ate, because my wife doesn't eat sweets, and I'm not a big fan of sweets.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. What, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're grown-ass people. Like, I don't give a shit about Christmas. Christmas is my least favorite holiday of the year.
Yes, I know.
Okay. So, it is what it is.
But you can still, you know, be very, very contentious when it comes to having some pumpkin pie, damn it.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't get me presents. Just, like, wrap the pumpkin pie and give it to me.
Exactly.
I don't care if anybody else eats pumpkin pie.
Yeah, jerks.
So that's the way we do it. And I don't know. I think it's fun. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how many children are in your family. But I would assume, like, there's not, like, little kids, right?
In my family?
Or at least not very many.
No, there's only my brother's kids, and they're all high school age.
Yeah, they're high school age. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, right now, you are in a sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because there's no, like, little kids.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, when your brother's kids have kids, they are going to have the greatest Christmas. Because you have all these adults that can only buy for, like, a little tiny handful of kids.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So they're going to love it. They're going to love it. I mean, that's kind of how it is at ours, right? So there's no little kids aside from, well, Zoe. Reagan doesn't really count, even though she still loves Christmas. But then, like, my wife's brother has three kids. They're all, like, 7 or 8. How old are they?
Ooh.
The oldest one is 9, I think, and under. And then my wife's cousin's kid is 7, and that's it. I mean, there's no, like, babies or anything, so. We're about to hit that sweet spot. Like, just give it, like, I don't know, 7, 8 more years.
Right.
And there's going to be no more little kids. It's going to be great.
Yeah, but then here comes the grandkids and stuff like that.
Listen, let's not talk about that, all right? I'm not even 40 yet, bro.
Such a young pup.
I'm a young pup. You know, it's funny, too, because I'll go to the store or something, and I'll see people with, like, 15,000 kids, because we're in the South, and, like, they'll put their groceries up, whatever, and they're buying, like, beer or wine or something. And they get carded. But they're, like, born in, like, 85, 86, right?
Yeah, bro.
And I look at them, and I'm like, God damn it. You look like you could be my dad. How are you, like, 6 years younger than me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe just have, like, a weird self-image. But
you think you're younger than what you actually are?
But no, because I know how old I look. I mean, right, I see myself in the mirror every day when I, like, shave or brush my teeth or whatever. But, like, I'm being serious. Like, you see some people, and you're like, well, damn, like, you either led a really tough life.
Right.
Or you just have terrible fucking genes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or it could be a little bit of both.
Or both, sure. But, like, you know, they're 10 years younger than me, and they look like they could have given birth to me. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Hey, I know you boycotted Walmart.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Did you read the story? I think it's this week. It might have been last week. About the guy in Walmart who had a pistol.
What?
And, you know, it's one of those, like, what is it? Conceal and carry?
Oh, yeah.
One of those states. Might have been Tennessee. I'm not sure.
Probably. We are one of those states.
But then he adjusted his pistol, and it went off in his pants and shot his dick. Like, yep, that all sort of checks out. That all, yep, the Venn diagram of all of those details, including Walmart, sure, yep.
That's hilarious. That's classic. Hilarious. Classic. Yes. I had not heard of that. I did go to Walmart last weekend.
Oh, did you buy the holiday 80 page special?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, look at you. Welcome back.
Yes, I did.
I'm not going there. Brah, brah, brah.
No, I buy them every month.
No, of course. See?
But here's what happened. So, as you know, Zoe is very into like really random, weird YouTube videos.
Yes.
And she was watch she likes this one channel where they do like kind of crafty stuff sometimes.
Okay.
And she learned about hydro dipping. And
What?
so the last time she was here, she said, "Daddy, can we go get stuff for hydro dipping?"
What
And
is that?
I'm about to explain it to you.
Thank you.
And I can't remember what happened. I was like, "We don't have time this weekend, but next time you come over, we'll do it." So as soon as I picked her up on Friday, she's like, "Daddy, are we gonna get the stuff to hydro dip?" And I said, "All right, we can go hydro dip stuff." So we went Sunday morning. We wake up. I make breakfast, and she's like, "Can we go get the stuff to hydro dip?" I said, "Yes."
You didn't just eat donuts, 'cause doesn't she like donuts on Sunday?
No, she hasn't asked for donuts in a long time.
Wow,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. Maybe she's growing out of the sweet tastes. I don't know. No, she still
Maybe.
likes sweets. But
Does she still like seafood? Or not seafood, seaweed.
no, Reagan likes seaweed.
Oh, okay,
Yeah, Reagan
gotcha.
likes
Does
seaweed.
she does Reagan still like seaweed?
Yeah, she still likes it. Matter of
Okay.
fact, there's a bag of it in the pantry. Like the seaweed chips or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I was like, "All right, where are we going?" And she's like, "Well, Walmart's got all the stuff." She's like, "I already looked it up. I went to walmart.com and looked it up." I said, "Well, God damn it. I don't go to Walmart." But okay. I guess we'll go to Walmart. So we went. So
Anything for his daughter.
of
Look at
course.
you.
Of course.
Yes,
So
yes, yes.
we got the stuff and I was like, "You know what? If I'm in this hellhole, I'm going to go ahead and get my DC 80-page giant holiday special." And I
Of
did,
course
and
you
it was
did.
fantastic.
Was it better than the Halloween one?
No, I think I like the Halloween one better.
Okay, yeah, I
Yeah.
thought that one was pretty
Yeah. The
stellar.
Halloween was really good.
Yeah.
So, all right, so hydro dipping. This is what hydro dipping is. Matter of fact, you can probably guess from the name. If I told you
Okay.
hydro dip, what do you
Hydro
think it
dipping.
is?
I think that's where you get chewing tobacco. And you put it in your mouth, and then you get a big liter of whatever soda pop you like. And while you're chawing, you do a big spit out to clear your mouth. Then you drink the diet soda, and it fizzes up in your mouth, and you get a lot of tobacco in there. And then it makes you really, really like nicotine caffeined up, and you just like vibrate. Am I even close? Hydro dipping.
You are
Thank you.
spot on.
The Urban Dictionary definition, hydro dipping. You're welcome.
Yeah, so not even close. So
Okay.
here is what hydro dipping is.
Okay.
So you take a plastic container. So we had one actually.
What's the size of the plastic container? What does it look like?
I don't even know if it matters, but
Okay.
the one that we used is probably 18 inches across or 18 inches wide. I don't know, 30 inches long. We'll just say 18 inches tall.
Okay, gotcha.
You fill it with water, not like all the way up, but at least halfway. And you take spray paint.
Spray paint,
Spray paint,
okay.
at least two colors. Three is
Yeah.
three preferred. We did two colors. We did
Oh.
purple, and we did like a teal blue kind of color.
Nice.
So you have your water. You spray one color, and then you spray another color into the water.
Into the water.
Into the
Okay,
water. So you're spraying into the
so
water.
there's little droplets of spray paint like going into the water and like falling down in the water,
Well, it doesn't
like
fall
into the
down
bottom.
because it the paint is actually lighter than the water, less dense than the water, so it
Oh,
floats to the top.
interesting. This sounds very messy
It's not at
using
all. I
spray
mean,
paint.
we did it outside, but no, it's not messy at all.
Oh, okay. I would just think I picture the water getting hit by the spray paint and the water and spray paint like flying up, like
Well, you
splattering.
don't like do it immediately next to the water. You do it like a few inches away, so you're getting paint in the water, but not splash of water.
Okay. When does the chewing tobacco come in?
It does not.
What?
So she wanted the 100 dip shoes. So we purchased a
Whoa.
pair of like super cheap white shoes. They were like
Interesting.
$6, $5.87, because Walmart has weird pricing. So you spray paint like you.
Is this like a new version of tie-dye?
Yes.
Wild. Okay,
Yes.
that's so cool that things go around, come around. That's wow. Okay, go on.
All right. So
Proceed.
you have the water. You spray one color in for like a few seconds, then you spray the other color in, and then you can like, spray in different spots or like mix them together. So what you're
Wow.
gonna do is you're gonna take your shoe. You I had to get some painter's tape. You paint. You use the painter's tape to kind of seal off the part where the foot goes in.
Oh, I thought you were gonna like, I thought you were going to make a design with the tape and then cut it out with like a razor blade, so it's like the opposite.
Sure, I mean, you could.
That's pretty, okay,
I'm sure
cool.
you
All
could.
right, this is sounding cool.
She didn't want to do it that way. So she wanted the foot part to be covered, and then it was kind of like at an angle down from the tongue of the shoe down to the back heel. So kind
Oh.
of like at an angle. And
Fancy.
then you take a shoe and just like you dip it. You go in sideways and you just bring it up the other way. So go in to the right, and then when you come out, the left side is the last part to come out.
Sure.
And so it makes a pattern on the shoe. That's why it's a white shoe. So she's got, and it's always like because of the way the paint and water interact, you get a different pattern every time. So neither of the two shoes look the same, but they have patterns on them, multicolored patterns.
Do they ever get cloudy? Because the like two colors or three colors of paint like muddy themselves up.
No, I'll see if she can send me a picture of them. I
Yes.
didn't take a pic. Wait, did I take a picture of them?
Tell her all Nerdy Legion needs to know.
Hang on. Let me see. I don't think I took a picture of them.
You just let her know that your audience needs to know. She'll, I'm sure she'll be like, "Ooh, I'm Nerdy Legion famous."
How many people listen to this show? Let's look it up right quick.
14.
All 3,579 people. Yes.
Oh.
So yeah, I'll have her send me a picture and I'll send it to you, or I'll put it on Twitter. But so yeah, so you have like two shoes, they're different patterns, and it looks cool.
It does the colors. I know it depends on what shade of paint you buy, but if you were to buy real vibrant colors, would they actually come out real vibrant, or does the color dull because it's being displaced with the water?
No, it doesn't dull at all.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want bright, colorful shoes. Dang it.
I
Do I have to send your daughter a pair of shoes and have her do them? Is that what I need to do? Let her know I have C2E2. I got to be dressed to the nines. Would she do that for me? Can
she would. She
I?
would. Would you like me to get her to hide you some shoes for you?
Yes, absolutely. Can I send her the shoes? She doesn't have to pay for anything. Can I send her the shoes and then pay her $20 on top of it for her time? You ask her. You be my business broker.
If I tell her that, she's going to be like, hell yes, send me some money.
Okay, good. Well, you bring it up to her. Next time you see her, you bring it up. I don't need them back at any time. You can bring them when you come to C2E2.
That's hilarious.
But I need to try on the shoes first and foremost. Now, do they have to be like a Converse type shoe? I would assume.
I don't think it matters.
Like there's no way it's sticking to leather or canvas shoes, right? It'd have to be a fabric-y type shoe.
No, the ones we got were canvas. They
Oh,
were like
interesting.
I don't know what it's called elsewhere, but what we in South Carolina call boat shoes. They look like boat shoes.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do this. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
you
have to
should do
send you a pair of shoes. I want to try them on to make sure that, hey,
it.
I want to wear these damn things. So sign me up and tell her I like color too. So she has to think of what colors go well together.
Yeah, I'm surprised at the color she picked.
Really?
So yeah, because
What
it was
are they?
the well, it was the blue and teal.
Yeah. Well, what color blue? Like if you were
Or
like
not blue,
narrow down the blue.
purple and teal.
What color purple then? Is it like winey purple or is it like a
No,
lavender
no, no,
purple?
like a royal purple.
Oh, wow. So they're both sort of dark.
No, I mean the teal's pretty light.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
Now, would she do me two different color designs? One on one shoe, one on the other.
well, you don't really have control of it.
Well, she'd have to dump out one after doing one shoe and then pick up and then redo it and do my other shoe.
No, because the way that the paint interacts with the water, you
Yeah.
literally get a different pattern every time.
I understand the pattern's different, but I'm talking, could she give me one color scheme on one shoe, well, one color scene on the other?
Yes.
Like like for you, if you wanted a Batman Robin color scheme,
Right.
one would be gray and blue, and then
Right.
one would be yellow and green.
Sure.
And then you're like, this is my Bat family shoes. Hello. Pretty pimp.
Yes.
I gotta do that. I gotta give your daughter some money. Good God.
Oh man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. So, I mean, it dries quick, right? Because the paint dries super fast. The only thing you have to wait for is, I mean, even though you're taping off the part where your foot goes in, you're still going to get some water inside.
Oh, for sure.
So the paint dries super fast, but then, like, the shoe's still a little moist. So,
Right.
I think the paint dries within like a few minutes. The
Nice.
water might take a few hours, though. So, yeah. I don't know if she's wearing them to school or what. I mean, I would let her. I don't know if her mom would, but I don't, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
I prefer she express herself, you know what I mean?
I wish my wife did that.
What, let you express yourself or wear multicolored shoes?
No, I wish she'd be watching these hobby type videos. Instead,
Oh.
we've discussed this before. Instead, she watches makeup videos and
Interesting.
then
Those are
goes to,
popular, dude.
oh God, yeah, then goes to Sephora and spends a lot of money on makeup
God.
and then comes up with this new terminology that I've never heard in the house, like contouring. I don't know what that is, but that's what she's doing. Actually, the new thing she's doing right now, her sister has been doing it for about 6 months, and that's knitting. And I guess their mother, she knitted since she was a little girl, just sort of fell off of it. And then she got back into knitting, and then she told my wife, you might be interested in doing it because it would help relax you and like get your mind off of things so you're not so stressed. So now she's knitting me a scarf and it's about 4.5 foot long
Oh, that's
right
awesome.
now. Oh, dude, scarf me up. I can never have enough scarves.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
See, I wish my wife like had more hobbies, you know what I mean?
Sure. Does
Because
she
she
go on and off hobbies? Like, will she get really interested in something and then a month later it's like, whatever happened to that?
No.
I'm done with that.
No. And
Oh, okay.
I've tried to get her like involved in stuff, right? Cause I'm like, babe, like, why don't you try this or that instead of just like, what's she playing now? The Sims? Instead of playing Sims on your phone, why don't you go like, my wife and I are totally opposite. You know what I mean? Like, she literally spends 23, well, not 23, but like 18 of 24 hours a day on her phone, whereas I spend maybe an hour a day on my phone. Right? I don't know. We're very opposites, and I've got a ton of hobbies,
True.
right? Like I don't have enough time in a day for all the hobbies that I have.
I know. I'm so looking forward to retiring. Just so I have an entire day where it's like, I can do my comic book hobby, or I can do my jazz hobby. Or guess what? I've always wanted to take up woodworking. Now I can do my woodworking hobby.
You should. Do you know how to play the saxophone?
No, but would I want to? But do I want to? Yes.
Yes, you should
When I
learn.
retire.
I play the drums, so we can start a jazz band.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. The Cricket Trio. Hello.
Oh man. Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
That
That's the
would
thing,
be.
right? Like that's part of the reason why I try to do things the way that I do them in terms of figuring out what's important and what's not, right? And what gives me a return on my time investment and what doesn't.
For sure.
Because like I want to do so many things, But like, there's only 24 hours in a day, Nick.
Yeah.
Shame on God for doing that.
It doesn't help when we have to work 9 to 10 hours a day.
At least.
Yeah. That doesn't help.
It doesn't.
And then you have to commute home? That doesn't help.
You're right. Well, luckily, my commute is like 10 minutes.
Yeah, mine at best is 50 minutes. As soon as there's a snowflake or a drop of rain, you might as well just double or triple that time. Yeah, Chicago's a bear it comes to bad weather.
I bet. Dude, we're getting snow this weekend.
Yeah, we had it this morning.
Oh, did you? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love looking at it. I just know, like, oh, I'm not even going to check traffic.com because I'm sure that's going to be hell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, but at least you're in Chicago, right? So you're used to that. Whereas I'm in the South, so when they announce it's going to snow, right, like everyone goes and buys bread and milk because, of course, like when you have no power, like that's what you eat is moldy bread and nasty hot milk.
Yeah. Or you get, living in Oklahoma, whenever they said that chance of ice or snow, everyone gets fucking panicked. And it's like, I got to go fill up the car. I got to put bags of salt or bags of sand in my trunk. But guess what? Those areas, they don't expect snow or ice. So there's no plows. No one in Oklahoma owns a plow.
Right.
So yeah, it is really, really, for me, it's just zen. Like, I know I'm going to be doubling or tripling my commute time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now I get to listen to 3 podcasts on my way in instead of 1. Yep. Big deal.
See, that's
I'll get in when I get in.
That's why I'm trying to work on my wife, because I would love to move to Alaska.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like hang out like in the tundra. Going like ice fishing or fly fishing or whatever, you know what I mean?
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever, it'd be awesome.
Or it's like, hey, they still have the internet. We can take your Sims mobile game up to Alaska.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You'll still be able to play, no worries.
But she, for a long time, she was not having it. And a couple years ago, I almost convinced her to move out to, I think we talked about this, over where her parents live.
Yeah.
Because they've got like 100 acres. And it's like boonies, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but she's like,
so
no,
perfect.
I need to like be able to drive to the store. And like where they're at, you can't really drive to the store, right? There's like a gas station and a Dollar General like 15 minutes away.
That's when you're like, yeah, we get Peapod and they just deliver. Why do you have to go to the store?
Well, see, now with this cricket farm, she might not have a choice.
Oh, it's so good.
And then it'd be awesome. Yeah. Go like boar hunting and shit. It'd be great.
At this point, I am quickly counting down the years of like, when can I retire? Like, seriously, when can I fall off the grid and retire? Just when?
Yep.
When are the golden years?
You know, that's the weird thing, right? So like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because of my minimalism thing.
Yep.
But you gotta think about like the way most of us live our lives is pretty shitty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get up and go to work and work all day, so you could do what? Like, feed yourself so you can go back to work the next day? That's pretty shitty. Like, it's a shitty life, dude.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, for sure.
And it's crazy, right? So, because I remember growing up, right? Matter of fact, we were just talking about this on Discord. Because it came up on the last episode that I lived in Argentina for a few years. Everyone's like, wait, where were you born? So we were talking about that on Discord. And so when we came to the U.S., I was like 8 or 9. And I remember like the reason for that is because, you know, my parents felt like it would be better here.
Yeah, of course.
But now
the land of opportunity.
And that's most likely true.
That's pretty true.
Yeah.
That's why we have plenty of people still wanting to come to America.
Absolutely.
Don't kid yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the
we
same
should
time,
really appreciate it instead of all of our bitching and moaning. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to think like, what exactly is that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, sure, like you're making more money, you live in a somewhat free country where you can express yourself, you can really do you can really do basically whatever you want to do, right? Like, if you put your mind to it.
As of now,
for now.
Can we? Where's your disclaimer? Have you said that your disclaimer this episode yet?
No, I have not.
Can you please put that on, tack that on right now? At this point, we have freedom of speech, caveat, as of now, we
As of
still have
now.
freedom of speech, freedom of expression, caveat, as of now. Yeah, it's, oh, God. But then you look at like people living very modestly, and it's like, yeah, why are we running around busting our ass? And how many people do you know that are like, they just die? There is no retiring. There is no golden years. There is no like, let me just kick back and now I can finally relax. I don't have to do 9 to 5. And it's like, if that's the roll of my dice, motherfucker, take me now.
Right? That's what I'm saying,
You
dude. Like,
know what? Like, damn. Like, I don't want to just work for the paycheck. I want the paycheck to provide, oh, now I can retire. Fantastic. And now I can hang out with my wife who I actually want to hang out with.
right.
Not like, I mean, there's some coworkers I like, don't get me wrong,
Not really.
but I still, for me, I want to hang out with my wife more. I want to hang out with my family, my friends more. That's who I choose to hang out with. I work, so guess what? I have to hang out with coworkers at work. But yeah, believe me. That's why I love your cricket farm. I love the chanterelle mushrooms. Dude, if I could support you in that, I'll support you in that. Amen. At least somebody gets to live the life.
I was watching, so as you know, I love the Bon Appetit YouTube channel.
Yes.
It is my favorite YouTube channel. In particular when Brad is on there. Brad is hilarious. But the last episode, what were they doing? They were cooking, oh, it's not hens. Some kind of wild bird. Maybe it was hens. Not like chicken hens, but like the bird hens. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And so he went to his buddy's place. He's got a farm, and like, he just grows stuff naturally, right? So like his garden is like this wild looking thing, right? It's not like if you go to a big production farm and everything's like nice and neat and the grass is cut and like, there's machines shaking trees for fruits. It's like a garden and there's like vines everywhere and whatever, and it's very wild looking.
Yeah, it's a workable, sustainable farm.
Yes. And it was awesome, right? And the dude was kind of hipstery, right? Like he had a hipster beard or whatever. But like that's what I want for myself, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes, yes, we are in a place of opportunity, but sometimes you need to find what that opportunity is for yourself, right? So I mean, you can do whatever. I mean, I could have gone into finance 20 years ago, and I was in finance for a couple of years and made a ton of money, which, I mean, I came out of college and I was making six figures. But to me, that wasn't fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like 25-year-old Martin is like, is this really how I should be living my life? But looking at yourself now, under 40 Martin, you'd probably look at that and be like, well, if I would have stayed there, I probably could have retired in my early
Oh,
50s.
dude, I was thinking about that a couple of weeks ago when
But the
I.
sad thing is, to be honest with you, there's no way you'd be retiring because making all that money, society would have told you, I need a really expensive car. I need a bigger house. I need to live in a more affluent area. Like that money would have just been swallowed up. You know? Yeah, weird.
Yeah. Well, and I've talked to my wife about this kind of thing, right? Because, like, even though we're very comfortable, like, we still talk about money, right? Because
Sure, of
there's always,
course.
like, more that you could have.
Right.
Except when I don't feel like we need any more. You know what I mean? I mean, like,
Yeah, but
my.
all of a sudden, braces or an operation could come by, and
Sure.
then it's like, oh shit, there goes all the money.
Sure. I mean, I had to pay, I don't even know, it was like 2 grand out of pocket for my last surgery.
Yeah, God, that's crazy.
Per leg, right?
Yeah,
And I
that's
mean,
just crazy.
I paid for it, so I'm happy that I had the money to be able to pay for it. But like, number one, why should I have to pay that much money for it, right? When I pay, I mean, I don't even know how much I pay for insurance. It's gotta be like, I don't know, for the family, $800 a month or something. I don't know.
It's yeah, got, it's a society. Be, right? We pay a lot of money.
I mean,
we pay
I don't a lot even, of money I don't even for know. Insurance. I don't even look at my paycheck. My wife knows how much I make. I have no idea.
Yeah, same here.
I just go to work, and then I get paid, and my wife tells me I got paid. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, it shouldn't have to be that way, right? So I just I want to be able to find that balance. Like, I've told my wife about getting, like, a tiny home, and she hated the idea, right? Because, I mean, we live in a large house. It's a 3,000-square-foot house. We live on an acre of land. And so, like, you know, that's kind of a big change.
For sure.
But, like, for me, I wouldn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be outside. She hates the outside.
But you're very minimal.
I am very minimal. That's true.
Like that's your new route.
I've tried to go camping with my wife.
Yeah.
And you know what she says? Well, did you rent like a Winnebago or something?
Shit, your wife is hard lucking it right there. You know what my wife said when I brought up camping?
What's that?
Wait, do you mean glamping? Like we stay like we stay at a Hilton and then just go out to like up here?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. That is the response I've gotten many a time from her. Mm-hmm. So
well see, and the thing is when the kids were a little smaller, like they were all for going camping, right?
Sure.
And like because of my schedule, I don't always have time to go and like get away for a day or a weekend to do it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'll just like we would settle for camping in the backyard,
right?
Like I've got a big yard, I can camp in my backyard, and they were cool with that. But now, like as they're both getting older, I'd be like, "Hey, before it gets cold, like we should go camping."
Hmm.
And they're like,
"Should I guess the response?"
Yeah, guess the response.
Wait, you want to camp in the backyard? Is Daddy, have you checked the Wi-Fi strength in the backyard yet?
That's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's more like, you mean like with tents? Yeah, with fucking tents.
Hey, Daddy, how about if you, campfire. I was just about to bring that up. Ooh, good Daddy. Campfire. Let's do some s'mores. And then after that, can we just go into our bedrooms? Would that be okay? As you're like snuggling up in the tent, you're like, where are you guys going? Hey. Shit.
So, you mean in a tent? Like where we build a fire and like cook there? Like, are we bringing food? Like, because we just heat it up? Like, how's the Wi-Fi in the forest? Like, is it cool?
Daddy, how are we going to run the microwave from the trunk of your car to heat up the food?
I'd be like, no, goddammit, like, what happened to you guys? You know what I mean? Like, you used to be cool with it, right? Like, you want
the crickets would never let me down.
You know, like, you'd want to get the tent together and the sleeping bags, and we'd, like, bring marshmallows and whatever and roast, what's that shit? The marshmallows and the chocolate?
S'mores,
there you go. You know, like we make s'mores around the campfire, just like hang out and like listen to the birds in the woods or whatever. Now I'm like, you don't want that, right? Like,
no.
Can we watch YouTube interest. In the middle of the woods? No! That's the point!
You're like, we want to disconnect. Well, you might want to disconnect. We don't want to disconnect.
Yeah, so I don't know, man.
There's a new Hydro Chaw video that I have to see. She's like, you can watch it on Monday. Yeah, but it comes out Saturday.
Yeah.
Ugh, I know. And trust me, I feel plugged in. And I got to say, I haven't done it. But now with all the updates to our phones, I actually want to go in and like, yeah, why don't you track how long I'm on what apps, how long, like just keep track of that. Because I sort of want to see on a weekly basis, like how much time I'm wasting and where.
Oh, Nick.
I think it'd be good for me. It'd be a little eye-opener.
So I thought about that, right? Because, like, Apple's doing it, Google's doing it. And I thought about it. And the thing is, I understand where, like, maybe it's helpful for some people.
I could see for parents. Parents love to have somebody else parent their kids. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like, that's why I don't like it, right? Like, I should be aware of what I'm doing.
You should be parenting your own child.
No, I'm not talking about just like what my kids are doing on their phone. As you know, like I'm pretty lax on things, right? Like
Sure.
I don't like to micromanage my kids.
Right.
But I mean, like, even just for myself in particular, like I
Mm-hmm.
number one, I don't want, we'll just say Google, because I've been Google free for like a month now. Like I don't want them to be able to track what I'm doing on my phone.
Sure.
Number one. Number two, like I shouldn't need that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like I should be enough of a grown-ass man to understand what it is that I'm doing on my phone and what I'm not. And
Oh
the
no, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I think it would just be a slap in the face of reality if I did have an app manage that and
Yeah.
then show it to me, like, you think you're on the phone quite a bit, shame on me, but here's the actual amount of time that you wasted on your phone in a week. Like, shit, if I actually saw that, I bet you dimes to donuts, it'd be like, well, that was 10 hours that I could have been reading. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading. Like it'd be enough of an incentive that's like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of time wasted. Yeah, I should be doing something else. Even though I know already I should be doing something else.
But do you like actually think that people think that? I don't think anybody thinks that.
I'm saying I think that.
Oh, well, you. But the
Yes.
majority of people, I don't think would think that way. They'd be like, "Oh, I played 10 hours of Candy Crush." Do people play Candy Crush? I don't know.
I don't know.
But you mean that they'd be like, "Oh, I played 10 hours of Candy Crush. Like maybe I should play less
I'm
Candy Crush
I'm saying
until the
me.
next day where they play more."
Correct. I'm saying me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I don't care what anyone else is doing.
Yeah. I just to think, we should be a little more aware of what we do and how we spend our time.
For sure.
Based on the story that I just told with my kids, like part of me like wants to be like, hey, like you don't need to be watching 100 different videos all the time, or like PewDiePie or whatever. Like let's go hang out and do nothing. You know what I mean? Like we'll walk through the woods. We'll go on a hike or whatever.
Yep, for sure.
But at the same time, like I don't want to force my kids to do that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I could start driving, I pretty much left my parents in the dust. See
Yeah,
ya. I'm out and about. But then all of a sudden, probably halfway through like my college, that's when I realized, wow, I actually miss talking to my mom and my dad. And by then they were already divorced.
right.
But it's like, wow, I sort of became very independent. My mom and dad were not the ones to be like, hey, I never see you. I want to see you. You be home every day for dinner because I want to see my son. They never ever were that way. They were always like, hey, if you want to go out, you go out. Go
Sure.
do your own thing. Be your own man. But then all of a sudden in college, I realized, Jesus, I sort of neglected all because I just me being selfish, I neglect like, wow, I lost 6 years of my life with them. So ever since like midway through college, I sort of have discovered as well as pushed myself like, no, you're going to build an adult relationship with your parents. They're great people. Why wouldn't why would you want to disconnect and like leave that relationship? Like, it's just, it's one of those things like maybe your kids aren't at that spot. They want to discover themselves. So hanging out with dad isn't really a forethought because dad's always going to be there.
Yeah, and that's why I don't want to like impose anything. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause I was the
Yeah.
same way when I was growing up.
Yeah,
My
I'm sure you were.
parents were very lax on me because they trusted that I would make the right decision. And really, like I know you don't have kids, but like you're still raised a certain way, right?
Oh, for sure.
And I think it's important as a parent to be like, well, I'm not, I don't. When you get to a point where you either taught them how to act or you didn't, right?
For
And
sure.
if they don't understand that, then you didn't do your job as a parent correctly.
Gotcha.
If you did teach them that and they don't want to listen, well, that's a different story, right? But there comes a point where as a parent, you kind of have to learn to let go a little bit. And yes, my kids are still small, right? Like, I mean, 15 and 8. So like with Reagan, I mean, there's not really much my wife and I could say, right?
Right.
Because
Yeah, you
at
have a
fifth,
young lady.
yeah, I mean at 15, I mean she's made up her mind on stuff, right?
Yeah.
And sure, it might be different in 10 years, but she's still very capable of rational thought. And for Zoe being 8, I mean, some 8-year-olds, I don't think, have the capability that Zoe does. And sure, I'm saying it because it's my kid, and, you know, every parent always thinks their kid's the best. But, like, Zoe is extremely smart, right? So I feel like there are certain things where I don't need to coach her to go a particular direction.
Right.
Right? And if I feel like what she's doing is wrong, then I will tell her, and I will try to correct it. But at the same time, she's a little mature for her age anyway.
Mm-hmm. I would even say Reagan at this point, she might respect and understand what her parents' POV, but at some point she's going to be critical thinking enough, making her own decisions and making her own judgments on things, where guess what? If your daughter comes home and like, that Ku Klux Klan thing, that seems like a good organization. I believe that. It's not like she's, you know, Zoe's age where it's like, let me explain something to you. Let me lay out everything about this. Or like, not that you have to feel the same way, but you're not seeing the whole picture.
Right.
And you could like meld her POV a little bit more than 15-year-old. At this point, your daughter's very close to being able to join a service. Vote. Like, there are some that, like, drive a car. Like, at this point, whatever her mindset, you can't be like, look, you're going to do what I say because I'm your parent.
Right.
You know, she, at this point, it's like, she's a young lady. If that's what she believes, then I can tell her how I believe, but you can't really be like, and you're not going to believe that. Mm-hmm. Next thing, you know, it's like, oh shit. And I think that's sort of what my parents were doing. Just like, you know what? If you want to go out and see your girlfriends all the time, then go.
Right.
Like, if you don't want to be at home with your parents for whatever reason, then go do you.
Yep.
And also, I was working. I don't think there ever was a time after I turned 15 where I wasn't working.
Yep.
During the school year, during the, like, I was not working a full-time job, but I would work as much as my age would let me.
Right.
So, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's weird, man. And you know, I remember, like, getting to a certain age and starting to do certain things where my parents didn't maybe agree with what I was doing. But I remember my reaction when they would try to coach me in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because at, like, you know, 17, 18, you don't realize the full importance of those things. Right, like,
for sure.
Even though you have the groundwork and the framework for how maybe you should potentially live a life, you don't have the experience to understand why it is that things should be that way,
Even the like forethought to think everything through.
Absolutely.
I mean, to be honest with you, I would hate to have a teenager nowadays. Like, the amount of garbage that they can put up on social media and think that, like, oh, all this stuff is just going to be a throwaway.
Right.
And it's like, well, a lot of employers do look back at people's history and will see stuff like that. I mean, you see it almost every month with like a college athlete, just like, oh, they said that when they were in high school. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, yeah, it's like shit like that's going to like haunt them, where guess what? Us growing up, all that shit, as long as you're not caught by the cops and it's on your permanent record, who knew what happened in so-and-so, in so-and-so's house? Who knew? No one does.
Yeah. Yep, it's true.
Frightening.
And the thing is, like, even through everything my parents taught me, and I think they taught me very well, I didn't understand any of it, like, truly understand it until, I mean, I was in my at least mid-20s. Really, to be honest, probably closer to 30.
I don't doubt it at all. Yeah, it's frightening how quickly your perspective changes. But, I mean, even look at Martin at 21 and Martin at 31. Mm-hmm. That's why it's frightening. Like, I couldn't even imagine getting married in my early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, gee. And then I see some people, like, come right out of high school get married. It's like, wow, that is not the same person that I was 10 years after high school. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, more power to them. Maybe they found the fairy tale wedding, you know, a soulmate. But I just know I was still growing, and I didn't know who really I was.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's true, man. It's true. Life sucks. That's basically what we're saying here. No, it doesn't suck.
No, we're not. Are you kidding me?
Life is pretty good. I gotta tell you, look, here's the thing. Like, I talk about all this, like, changes that I'm trying to do with my life and whatever. And mm-hmm. that kind of goes with it too, right? Like, I didn't really start to understand what my parents were trying to teach me until late 20s. But really, it's like even now at, you know, almost 40, I mean, I still have a couple of years, but at almost 40 is when I'm really looking at everything and really maybe starting to figure out what's important. And I think that's kind of the key, right? You know, people always think
surprisingly, your parents actually had pearls of wisdom that they were sharing.
Of course, of course.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, damn, they didn't know everything.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, even just to like my dad, he was like, he fought, like he was in Cuba during like, you know, that whole skirmish. Mm. And like, even just coming at it from that perspective, never going to college.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, he didn't say a lot, but some of the like things that I took away from it, it's like, dang, he did direct me and share and try to protect me as much as he possibly could communicate to me at the time. You know, it wasn't like, this was like hard love. This was not like, I'm going to stick my finger in your face and waggle it a little bit and be like, I'm very disappointed. Like, no, that was the belt coming off and like, you better get ready. You know, but it was a different time. But, you know, it's like, I'm sure he didn't want to do stuff like that. It was just sort of a passed down thing, as well as, I got to burn this into this dumb boy's head.
Right.
Because guess what? Boys are dumb. Boys are pigheaded. Boys don't listen to shit. So how's he supposed to get his voice across? You know what? Like, not that I'm justifying it, but it's one of those things that's like, he was trying to, in his limited form of communication, communicate to me. Like, hey, this stuff's sort of important. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing this because I'm happy to do this. I'm doing this so you will remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah, kind
of. Hey, I'm sorry, is this topic, you have anything else, or can I switch a gear?
No, continue. It's your show.
Oh, golly. I just wanted to give you a little hidey-ho. I just wrapped up Jason Aaron's Scalped.
Oh, wait, the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Holy moly, all right.
All be done. Whatever it is, 70 issues?
Yeah.
Holy cats, that is one hell of a story. There was parts at the end where I was, at this point, you've read 60 issues.
Right.
Not that I would want to tell a writer, like, that really isn't the voice of such and such character. I don't want to say that, but there were points where it was like, could I see that character doing stuff like that? Possibly not. You know, it's like, where's that motivation coming from? I don't know if I see. You know, it's just like, But there were a lot of twists and turns, and there was part of it that by the time I got to the overindulgence of like drugs, like the downward spiral thing, I almost stopped reading. Because I'm like, if this is the hole that they're going down, go down that hole. But I was just like, I don't really know if I want to read this. Like, I'm not into that type of literature, so no interest. But luckily, Jason Aaron is such a good writer that it seems like he can find his voice, even if he sort of like lost it for a little bit.
Yeah,
he can like center himself pretty well. But so, yeah, it was. Good God, I can't believe that hasn't been put into a television show or a movie or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure it's been optioned somewhere.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Do you feel like I was thinking about this when they relaunched Thor this last time? Mm-hmm. Because you know Jason Aaron's been doing Thor for like 6 years now.
Yeah, quite a long time.
And I was trying to think about Jason Aaron before Thor, and, mm-hmm. and it almost feels like he's really come to his own as a result of Thor. And I don't know how fair an assessment that is, because really, like, I think if you're allowed to work on a particular character for a long period of time, then you're bound to, as a writer, like, get more skilled, I guess, at your craft, because you're able to work in that wheelhouse for a long time.
Yeah, it becomes your character,
right?
Or you would hope that you're going to impart your character, you make him into your character,
right. But I'm talking about, like, in general, right? Not just with Thor, right? To me, it almost feels like before Jason Aaron was doing Thor, like, he did good stuff.
Oh, I would go higher than good, but okay.
All right, fair enough. But, like, he did good stuff. But it almost feels like since working on Thor, he's just, like, continuously levels up. Whereas, like, he's at a point where I feel pretty confident that if he decides to come out with a new book, that I can go and pick it up, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, he's hit on my scale. He has hit Jonathan Hickman proportion.
Yeah.
I can pretty well trust him to write a good story. Now, will it be every arc is a home run? Or will it be, I have a really good treatment for Doctor Strange. So the first arc of Doctor Strange is going to be really good.
Right.
Oh, shoot. Now I have to do a second and third arc.
Yeah.
But I got to say, right out of the gate, my first exposure to him was Ghost Rider. And the only reason I gravitated to that was somebody said, if you're looking for a pulpy Western with like a Clint Eastwood Western character, check out Ghost Rider. So going into it, that's the voice I heard. I was picturing a pulpy Western setting with like the good, the bad, the ugly version Ghost Rider.
Right.
With, of course, S&M nuns and Satan coming, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I got. And I mean, it was thoroughly entertaining, but you're right. I would say Scalped, I would say Thor has elevated into, hey, Marvel, I hope you don't lose him.
Right.
Like, I hope that they start appreciating the writers that have been there for quite a long period of time and have really proven themselves over and over and over again. Yeah, I'm so thoroughly pleased that I finally got through Scalped, because I got through the first three trades in trade, and then it was one of those, oh, here comes another trade, I'll buy it and put it on my shelf. Oh, here comes another, I'll buy it, put it on my shelf. And then I just fell off of it. I just never, ever went back to read it. So it was nice to actually read the entire thing. Yeah, without stopping and without, other than like stopping for an Immortal Hulk or a Punisher issue here and there.
Yeah.
Reading it straight through was fantastic.
No, that's great. That's great. I'm curious why he doesn't. I mean, I'm sure he gets a nice paycheck at Marvel. That's why he stays there. But why he doesn't do more creator own stuff? You know what I mean? Because he does Southern Bastards, which is a book that I don't really care for. And I think part of the reason for that is, I mean, Southern Bastards is kind of like a take on Southern culture, and I live in the South, man. I can just like walk down the street and see Southern Bastards, right? So for me, it's not like a book that I have to read.
Sure.
And maybe I don't know. It's been a couple of years since I've read Southern Bastards, so maybe I should go back and check it out again. But it's just the way that I felt for quite a while. I enjoy the first volume. I think I read into the second, and after that, I was just kind of like, whatever. I'm all right. You know what I mean?
Southern Bastards reminds me, because I used to read a book series, like I told you, on during the summer I would do brain dead reading. So for quite a few summers I read, there is an author, his name's Stephen Hunter. And he did that was called Dirty White Boys, and God, I gotta say, that is Southern Bastards seen through. Actually, it's very similar to Southern Bastards, and a lot of Stephen Hunter's books revolve around a like sniper, So there's a lot of, it's almost like Tom Clancy, a lot of description of like the arc to the horizon. This is what a sniper has to see, and he has to see like the bullet drop and the conditions around him for like it definitely is like a math problem that he describes, but he describes it so well. He describes the math problem so well that it adds tension to like, oh, here's all these variables that I have to take this shot at however many yards to do all of this stuff together to actually make this perfect shot. But boy, Dirty White Boys is so Southern Bastards. So that was the thing that sort of drew me in. As soon as I read Dirty, or sorry, as soon as I read Southern Bastards, it brought me back to Dirty White Boys. So that's sort of how I got into it. So yeah,
No, that's
but it's
cool, man.
strange. He doesn't do a lot of his own work.
Yeah, I'm surprised because like even Southern Bastards is delayed all the time.
Oh God, yeah. Well, maybe it goes back to what we were talking about before. Maybe he is making enough to live comfortably in
Yeah.
Kansas.
Oh, no doubt. Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Okay. Yeah. Maybe he's making enough where it's like, well, yeah, I guess I can push myself and do 6 books a month, or I'm ver living very comfortably and I only have to work X amount of days a month. Who knows? Or he could be doing a Rucka thing. He could be writing a prose book. You don't know. You know,
That's
that's not out
true.
of the realm of possibility. I
That
mean,
is
Greg Rucka
true.
slowed down quite a bit, and then all of a sudden, here comes a book. Yeah, but he's great to, he knows character very well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying.
so.
Like, even though I don't really enjoy Southern Bastards, I understand why people really like it. You know what I mean? He is very good at that.
Yeah, he definitely sets up characters and motivation really well.
Yep.
Yeah, and I can. It seems like, especially even Thor, not everything like Ghost Rider, that was every issue was an action film. And I think in his, I won't say old age, but in his growth as a writer, not everything has to be bombastic. Even Thor, you would think Thor would be bombastic.
Sure.
There's a lot of quiet moments in Thor.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and the quiet moments really set things off, right? For the stuff that's coming.
Yeah, and he was getting as much flack for Jane as Slott was getting for Where's Peter Parker? Why'd you take Peter away from us? And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, for both of the characters, all these people are like, yeah, we love Jane. Just like, oh my God.
That's hilarious. Yep.
Guess what? The writer can write, so just let him write, him or her write. Hey, have you ever read? I think it comes out by Dark Horse, I want to say. Mata Hari?
That sounds familiar.
Just curious, because on Comixology this week, there is and you might be interested in this, and I've never seen this before, and I effing love it. There's a Karen Berger sale, a sale
Really?
of an editor. I'm like, that is effing great. Oh my God. So I was
Interesting.
just curious because one of her books is Mata Hari that she edited. So I definitely want, I was like, oh, and then I looked through pages and oh my God, they are pretty.
Yeah, I don't know if I've read that. I'm reading a few things right now on Unlimited. I'm rereading the. I don't know why I'm rereading this, but I was in the mood. I'm rereading the Aliens Omnibus.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
really good. It's really
The
good.
first
Yeah,
omnibus?
the first one.
Ooh, that's some good stuff.
I don't know if all, but most of Rachel Rising is on there, so I'm also rereading that.
Well, hold on. Before leaving Aliens Omnibus, who, the last story that you read, can you remember the creative team?
No.
Just to put me in a place, I'm just curious.
No. Let me see if I can
Dang
pull it
it.
up. I can probably tell you if I pull it up.
Okay.
But yeah, so.
Man, there were some good creative teams on the very beginning of Aliens. Actually, that went a hell of a lot longer than when Predator was coming out. Like the really awesome creative teams on Predator sort of went downhill a lot quicker than the Aliens.
See, here's the problem with digital. Sometimes it takes a while to get to where you want to go.
Uh-oh.
Where if I was in print, what did I just finish? I just finished Nightmare Asylum. Let's see here. I gotta go to that page so I can tell you who the creative team is.
Okay. I ain't in any rush, son.
I know. One.
Oh, wait, do we have to end? You have
No,
to
we're
get
good.
going,
We're
don't
good.
you?
We're good. We're good.
I don't want to keep you past your time.
No, we're good. Let's see. Written by Mark Verheiden with art by
Yes, Nelson.
Dan Buva.
Oh.
Letters by Willie Schubert. Yeah. It's nice, dude.
Yeah,
It's like a painter style.
that's
Yeah, it's
cool.
nice.
I like it.
Dude, that Omnibus is really good. If you like the alien stuff, well worth it. And it's free! Well, if you pay for unlimited.
Well, yeah. But still, who the hell cares? That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going through that. I'm like halfway done.
Cool.
I'm rereading Rachel Rising, which is Terry Moore.
Yeah,
That's my favorite
nice.
Terry Moore, so I'm rereading that. On my queue, I've got Planet of the Apes, like old school stuff from the 70s.
Oh, nice. I just read the Gabriel Hardman and his wife. I can't recall her name. Darn it. She wrote it. Oh, Karen Bedko? Karina Bedko?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, it's his wife.
Oh, okay.
And the thing that drew me to that, well, other than Hardman's art, the thing that drew me to that before Bedko became a writer, she used to be, I think she studied apes or primates at the like LA Zoo.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I was like, oh, that's really like whenever she, 'cause she also writes Invisible Republic, whenever there's any talk of like animal like culture and animal like interpersonal type relationship type thing, whenever she tries to make those connections, it's always like, wow, you can tell she's a zoologist.
That's
Holy
cool.
Christ. Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So what did I say? Planet of the Apes. After that, I've got Oko, which I've never even heard of, but it was recommended to me by Comixology, so I put it on my list.
And
It
they know
looks super
best.
awesome. It's set in feudal Japan, and
Ooh.
it's this Ronin like traveling through Japan, hunting demons and stuff. The
Nice.
art is awesome, dude. I wish it was black and white. I think it would have worked better, I think, for this kind of story. But
Okay.
it's really nice looking art. It's not quite anime, but you can kind of tell that they're trying to go in that direction.
Neat.
But it's really nice. And then I'm gonna be rereading Judas after that. I don't know if you ever read that. Have you ever read Judas?
Judas.
Yeah.
Is
Judas.
that by Disraeli?
No, Loveness.
No, I
Oh
haven't read that.
God, it is so good. It is really good. Yes, it's about Judas. What's his name? Judas Iscariot. The guy that betrayed Jesus. It's that story, but it's really well done. It's from the perspective of Judas.
Dang.
And the art is freaking amazing, dude. Just like the panel layouts and stuff, really, really good. Recommend you pick that up. It's from Boom
Cool.
Studios.
All right. Oh, I'll look. I think there's a Boom sale going on right now. I'll take a
Oh, is
look.
there? Okay. Yeah, check that out for
Yeah.
sure.
Did you ever read She Could Fly?
I'm reading that. Is that over? I can't remember if it's
I don't know.
no. How many issues are out? 5 issues, I think, are out.
Well,
It's really good.
there's four in the burger sale, and when I saw that the artist was the Ice Cream Man artist, I was like,
Yeah.
oh,
Dude, Ice Cream Man is one of my favorite books.
maybe I should check it out. So it's in the cart.
Have you read Ice Cream Man?
No, I have not. There hasn't been a sale on it, dude.
All right, you need to. Does Comixology let you do alerts or something? No, damn it! Shame on you, Amazon. Put alerts on there. Whenever that comes up, you've got to read that. It is so good.
I will.
It is really, really good. The guy's writing all over the place now. He just did last month, I think. He did a book for, I want to say DC, and I can't remember which one it was. And it was really good too.
Oh,
Yep.
okay.
All right, and then after that, I got Grendel in the Shadow.
Oh, that's a video with Matt
Yeah,
Wagner.
yep, Matt Wagner. And then after that, I've
Oh.
got Irredeemable because of Rob Krieger. I had to move it up on my list.
I moved it up in my list too.
Yeah,
Damn you, Krieger.
I was going to try to read it next, but then I looked at my list and I was like, there's no way I can put it next. I've got to do this other stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually debating on going straight to it, but then I look at the stuff that's like waiting for me and I'm like, I got to clear out some of this. It's been sitting there for about 4 months, all this stuff. So it's like, I want to move it out just a little.
Yep. Yeah, too much to read, man. Too much to read.
But it's all great stuff. Think of it that way.
Yep. Well, and the cool thing is, because I'm staying caught up on the weekly stuff, it gives me time to read old stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Love it.
They should do what? Why is there not a Grendel movie? Talk about, like, things that should be optioned. Why is Grendel not optioned?
Honestly, I never understood that. There's a hell of a lot worse IP, even comic IP, that have actually come out.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, really? That came out before Grendel, unless Matt Wagner is so protective. I have no idea. No clue.
Let's ask the DuckDuckGo machine. Why has Grendel not been optioned?
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Of course not. Can I give, well, maybe not to you, but to our fantastic listeners, when I was reading all the Secret Wars stuff, as you well know, like one of my favorite events that made me read every tie-in book, literally every tie-in book that came out from it, so like 24 tie-in books. Well, in the Sam Humphries sale on Comixology, they have two Sam Humphries Secret War books, and they're both fantastic. Planet Hulk, as well as Weird World. And Weird World has Del Mundo.
Yeah.
Like his painter style. Oh, it's so pretty, pretty, pretty. So just throwing it out for the peeps if they're looking for something to read.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
No, that's good. Good choices.
Yeah.
I'm still also not caught up on TV, but I did catch up on Titans, and let me tell you, I think the $7.99 is worth it just to watch Titans, man.
I read your tweet, and man, you couldn't have sold it any harder.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, think about it. Like, if you go to iTunes, you're going to be paying $1.99 an episode, right?
For sure.
So, like, that's what it comes out to, roughly. Mm-hmm. $1.99 a month, and or whatever, an episode. And it's really good. I have not read very many comics on the service at all. All I'm really using it is for the video stuff and really just Titans. It's really good. I know Daryl was kind of complaining about my love of Titans, and you know, whatever, it's fine. It might not be for everybody, but I think it's the best superhero show ever made.
Hey, everybody has an opinion.
Yep.
It's all right.
Yep.
It's all right.
And number now, two is Legends.
Gotcha. And can I ask you about the comics? Have you really noticed how much curation they do? Do they wipe the slate clean every month?
No, it's every couple of months. Stuff? It's every couple of months. Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Or I don't know if it's every couple, maybe like every 6 weeks or something.
Sure.
I'm not even going to lie, dude. Like I read so many comics, I don't even pay attention to the DC Universe comics section.
You're so fancy.
It's not about being fancy. It's about, like, I've got other shit to read, bro.
And the stuff that's on there,
I've read a lot of it, so.
I know. You're so well-read.
I read a lot, all right?
I know you do.
And I read real books.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But can I ask, do you still go to, or are you pretty much digital?
Yeah, mostly.
Where do you? Okay. I'm just curious. Percentage wise, how many like DC titles do you think you buy out of all the mainstream DC, not like the kids versions and stuff like that?
I don't know, how many do they have? Let's find out.
Okay.
There's very few that I'm not reading.
Cause that actually was going to be my ask. Why wouldn't you just go with the DCBS bundle and save a hell of a lot more money?
Cause I don't want to wait to get my comics.
Okay, gotcha. I just didn't know if that made sense at all.
No, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, just curious.
All right, so the ones that I'm no longer reading.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Green Arrow, I'm not reading that. not reading Harley Quinn, but I am reading, what's it called? Old Lady Harley or whatever?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's the Old Man Logan, but with Harley Quinn.
Brother.
I am reading that. I'm not reading Suicide Squad. I'm not reading Titans. I think that's it. Supergirl. I'm not reading Supergirl.
Oh, cool.
But I think that's it in terms of DC proper. And then on the New Age of Hero stuff, I quit reading Damage. Sorry, Robin Diddy. I love you, but I just, it just wasn't my thing.
I hear you.
And I think that's it. I'm reading the rest of them. The only DC books that I'm still picking up that I have not, that I'm not caught up on is Batman and Teen Titans.
That you're not caught up on?
That I'm not caught up on.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I think Batman, I'm only like one or two behind. Teen Titans, I read the first issue when Adam Glass took over, and I haven't read since. Not because I don't like the book or Adam Glass, but because I forgot that I was still getting it.
Okay, gotcha.
So, and I've known this for weeks, because Ronnie and Aaron and I were talking about this, and I still haven't caught up on it, because I just get distracted by other stuff that I'm reading.
Sure.
So at some point I will. And then in terms of Marvel, I'm reading the majority of Marvel. I quit reading Exiles, which is too bad, because I was very excited for that book. But I quit reading that. I quit reading Iron Man. Although I think I'm still getting it. I gotta check that.
I think I'm still getting it.
I'm just really behind. Because I think I've only read like the first three issues. Or four, maybe. What else am I not reading over there? I wish I wasn't reading Uncanny X-Men. But I am caught up. But I wish I wasn't reading it.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Aww. Is that Rosenberg?
I think this first arc is not Rosenberg, the extermination guy. Ed Brisson?
Okay.
Yeah, Bryson?
Every time I hear Ed Brisson, I always think Jenny Frison.
Yeah, yeah.
And those two couldn't be more opposite.
The more opposite, yeah. No, I'm just not digging it. I think the direction of X-Men felt like it was getting somewhere before they decided to do this whole extermination Uncanny X-Men thing. And when they announced Uncanny, I know everyone was super excited because they're like, oh, Uncanny's coming back. It's going to be great. So maybe it's a little bit of getting jazzed up because Uncanny's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, I don't know, man. It's just not hitting for me. And the problem is it's a weekly book.
Ooh, good God.
And so, you know, I hate weekly books.
Yeah.
But like if they're really good, I will get them and read them. No Surrender. Like No Surrender sold me on weekly books. But then the next weekly book I get is Uncanny X-Men. I'm just like, meh.
Maybe that hurts. On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. And we'll see.
Darn it.
We'll see. I know the new Martian Manhunter book came out today, and I'm very excited for it. But the art looks terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what happened. What had happened?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I really like Riley Rosmo.
Yeah. But
there's something – it's the faces, man.
It does not look like – what was it? Shadow versus Batman?
No, it doesn't look anything like that.
No.
I don't know what happened.
And I compared it to when I used to be reading Ho Chin Anderson. And then all of a sudden he completely changed his art style for whatever reason. Guess what? He's a creator.
Yeah.
You go wherever your creativity is going to take you.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean I have to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've liked Riley for a long time, and it's just it doesn't feel like Riley at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I haven't read the book yet. I flipped through it a couple days ago. I can't remember.
Sure.
And I didn't care for the art that much. So I was like, I'll read it when I get to it. Which is too bad because I was excited, right? Like Steve Orlando.
Yeah.
I love Steve Orlando. Yeah. Love Riley Rosmo. Fucking love Martian Manhunter. I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to love that.
Yeah. I was offered all the DC books for the week a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
You mean with an eye patch?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Preview copies.
Gotcha.
But I don't care about preview copies, dude. I mean, I get like other preview copies, like for example, the Aftershock books, right? I will talk about those because I do an Aftershock podcast. We get those like Sunday night, right? I don't read them till like Wednesday afternoon, cause like what am I gonna read them for? Right? Like who am I gonna talk to about it? Nobody else has read it.
Right. Yeah,
But
you're way too out there, way
yeah.
too ahead of it. Yep.
So I was offered these DC books, and I was like, yeah, I don't want them. And they're like, well, Martian Manhunter, it's a thing. And I was like, all right, I'll read Martian Manhunter. I don't want anything else. And I was like, oh boy, that's rough.
Uh-oh. I might have chose wrong.
That's rough.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Have you read The Seeds?
The Seeds. Who wrote
Yeah,
that?
it's a Dark Horse book. You'll definitely know.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
The
And
Aha book.
Anne Nesenti,
Yeah, and Nesenti and Aha. Yeah. God, I love the shit out of that.
who did a fantastic Daredevil run that is forgotten by a lot of
Yeah,
people.
extremely underrated. Yep.
Yeah, and of course David Aha. Yeah. Okay, because
With
that
a very different style, by the way.
I know, and both of those are in my cart. As soon as I saw the style, it was sort of freaky.
Oh my God, you gotta read that. It's so good.
I'm buying them tonight. I will be reading them this weekend. So,
How, what is that, 3 issues in?
2 issues in, at least
Okay.
digitally, 2 issues in.
Okay.
And they're both on sale in the Thank You, Karen Berger sale.
Yeah, The Seeds is freaking awesome, dude. It is
Yeah,
so good.
I will be enjoying that faux show.
99 cents.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sign me
I
up.
paid $2 for them, so I'm not mad.
Hell no, don't be mad. I'm curious, is the physical copy, is there a lot of like back material that I'm not going to get with the digital
Ah,
copy?
I see.
Yeah.
That I couldn't tell you because I picked these up digitally.
I understand. I get it.
See if there's this is really weird for me to say. See if they've got, as a matter of fact, I'll look right now.
Uh-oh.
Nope, never
While
mind.
you do that, I will look for Judas.
Yeah, look for Judas. I was gonna say you should check out The New World, but it's not on sale. So
Shame on you.
just put it on the back burner. And the weird thing is it's that it's Alish Kott, which I don't like Alish Kott at all. But I really like this book.
He's hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Judas Collected Edition is only $9.99.
That's pretty good. I'm sure you can get it cheaper though.
That's real good.
Yeah. Judas is great. Nobody read it, but I read it and I liked it. So I'm reading it again.
Dang, look at you, son.
Yeah, it's good. It's actually it was re it reviewed very well. Just dude, like
I might.
comic readers don't want to read about Judas. You know what I mean?
Last week there was a boom sale. I bet you anything this was part of boom sale,
Oh,
but it
no
just
doubt.
went right past me, damn it.
Yep.
Urgh, curses.
Oh shit, I'm behind Detective Comics. Mother effer. I'm 2 issues behind.
Oh no.
How did that happen? God damn it. All right, I gotta catch up. I didn't read Batman Secret Files either. God, what is wrong with me? What's happening right now?
And here you are just sitting there reading like things that you've already read. I mean, whoa, are you Paul Tessner? What's going on over here?
Dude, I just read like 200 pages on this Aliens omnibus. I could have read like 20 comics.
Yes, exactly. Something you've already read at least one time, if not more.
Like 3 times.
Yeah, what the hell? What the
How did I
hell?
not? Oh
I'll
wait, no,
scold
I
you
did read
though.
this. I did read this. Why does it say
Okay,
I haven't read it?
what the hell?
I definitely read this. Maybe I just skimmed through it. This page looks familiar. I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining things.
It is late for you.
All right, I'm gonna read Batman Secret Files before I go to bed.
Yeah, you're in.
Oh man. All right, let's wrap this up, Nick.
And here you are. I mean, how did the tables flip?
Why do you
You
say
don't
that?
buy anything. You don't buy anything this episode. I was the one buying everything this episode. Son of a
You didn't
bitch.
buy enough.
I bought 4 books,
Hey,
so
that's
get
pretty
off my
good.
ass.
No, that's pretty good.
And one of them was one of those deluxe, dude. Marvel has finally done what DC's been doing for the last like 8 months.
Oh.
I love the we're going to take two trades, combine them both up into one trade, and mark it as deluxe. There's nothing extra in it, there's nothing new, but they do that and then they jack up the price probably $4, and it probably costs them $2 to actually print it. Extra. But it's still, guess what? You know what happens when a Comixology sale hits? That deluxe trade gets marked at the same price as regular trades.
Mm.
So they're all $4.99 a book. So that's what I've been doing with Batman and Superman. I'm like, I'll wait until the sale is on the deluxe version. Sure enough, they might not happen. Yeah. It might not happen every DC sale, but it happens enough. And it happened with the Cable sale.
Nice.
That I got the Straczynski Hope, the Cable Hope, like that they did a deluxe version with two trades in one. So it's like, oh, hell yeah, I'll get that. Like 350 pages? Yes. Hell thank you. Sign me up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's great, dude.
And the seeds, of course. Done and done.
The seeds. God. They need to hurry up with that next issue. I think that second issue came out like 2 months ago, dude.
Yeah. Hey, it's aha. You think every Hawkeye issue came out on time?
Yeah, you're right.
I can happily let you know that did not come out on time.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. No rush. That's a good creative team. Let them work through it.
Oh yeah, no, that's fine. As long as the book comes out at some point, I'm okay.
Exactly. You better just come out.
just bring it out.
I might have to start reading Irredeemable. Damn it.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I actually put, and now I might have to get rid of, not that I'll get rid of it, but just postpone it till later. I put all of the New 52 Grifter my cart to read.
Okay.
The entire series. But then I'm like, man, I should be reading Irredeemable. Grifter, you might have to go on the back burner for a little bit. I want to read that. Damn you, Krieger.
See, the book's delayed.
Seeds?
Yep, issue 3 was supposed to be out in October.
Oops. Close enough, right, guys?
No.
Yeah, that ain't good.
Dude, I just need to quit looking at previews, because this cover looks familiar, but maybe I just saw it in previews.
Can I tell you the next event that I might be reading?
It is Venomverse.
Nope. Can I tell you when I say my next event, you will say, put down Grifter, put down Irredeemable. Oh. You've never read this event before. You should be reading this event right now. You better start it tonight.
I like the sound of this.
It's well over probably 1,200 pages. It went on for many years, and then it had a hard reset to the entire universe that it was in. And I've never read it. Because of the time period it came out in. But I think it's one of your favorite events.
All right, this is not telling me much because...
Oh, I know.
That could be like 90% of Marvel in DC.
It's Marvel.
Okay.
I know you've read it. We've talked about it here. And every time you are like, mother effing.
Wait, I want to guess.
Yes, I want you to guess. That's why I keep saying it.
Is it Annihilation?
No, I've read that, fool. Get out of here.
Well, that is the best Marvel event of all time.
Okay, well then you tell me where this event once you know. Can I give it to you, or are you going to guess?
Oh, give it to me.
Age of Apocalypse.
Ah, yes! All right, I lied. Annihilation is the second best event of all time.
I knew you would say something like that.
God damn it!
Should I be...
Why are you talking to me right now? Why are you not reading this?
Let's end this podcast. You go read it now.
Wait, so what'd you get? Did you get an omnibus?
On the last Marvel event sale,
uh-huh.
I got a code that was like spend $30, get 15 off.
Oh, wow.
And they had, I already owned book zero, Omnibus Zero, the complete Age of Apocalypse. There's like four books, so obviously it's like four omnibuses.
Yeah.
And I already had zero, but they had 1, 2, 3. So I'm like, oh, so pretty much I'm going to be buying all of these and getting $15 off. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. So now that I finished Scalped, I'm like, even though I just bought that, I have all these older things that I bought but I really want to read Age of Apocalypse.
So, Nick, you do realize I have, like, hundreds of books that I need to read.
Yes.
And yet, I now need to go and read Age of Apocalypse again.
Sorry.
God damn it. Just make sure you read the original Age of Apocalypse, not like the garbage they brought afterwards.
What? Yeah, you mean the, like, the newer version of Age of...
Yeah, because they did, like, a, like, what was it, like, a 10th anniversary? They did a miniseries or 15th anniversary. That was, like, an Age of Apocalypse miniseries. They did a couple since then.
Oh, no. These are old school.
The Age old school with, like, the like exterminators 92. And the exiles and all that. Yeah, I got you. The good stuff.
It better be the good stuff.
It is the good stuff. God, it's so good. What's
I have five books waiting for me.
What's in the zero? Is that the one before Age of Apocalypse started?
See, I bought... Okay, now this is all the stuff that I have. Oh, what the hell's going on here?
What's included in zero?
Now I have to look. It's not showing up. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little befuddled, damn it.
Comixology, you better get on that. I'm trying to find what book zero has.
I have all of that. Let me see. Like, everything, when I look up the series, it says everything is download. Is it Prelude to Age of Apocalypse? Okay.
Yeah, it says that came before it. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, and trust me, when you look at the preview pages, they are all 1991. Come on now.
Oh, I'm sure. That was, what's his face? Andy Kubert?
There you go. Yeah, cover by Andy Kubert.
Yep.
Wow, wow, wee, wow.
That's good stuff.
That's looks good like good stuff. And then, yeah, it's all, yeah, they're all about 300 pages each.
Yeah, that was like right in between, because what was the one that came before Age of Apocalypse? It was, what was that character? I can see it in my mind's eye. He looked like...
Was it Onslaught?
Onslaught.
Yeah.
God, I love Onslaught too. Fuck, I'm going to put that on my reading list now.
Wasn't there an Avengers tie-in too?
Yeah, that one. The Avengers tie-in sucked. But I liked Onslaught.
I just dropped it in. I dropped the prelude into the download queue. So,
well, Nick...
We have it going right now.
It was meant to be...
Uh-oh.
Because on Comixology Unlimited,
mm-hmm.
X-Men, the complete Onslaught epic.
Oh!
All right, borrow. Congratulations.
Onslaught.
Everything else is on hold, because I'm going to read Onslaught and then Age of Apocalypse.
Dang! So you're going to easily catch up to me.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you read much faster, and you dedicate quite a bit of time to it.
Nick, I'm never gonna get to Eve Redeeming Bull again. This is very sad.
Well, maybe when I finally tempt your tummy with I'm gonna read it this week, maybe you'll be like, alright, I'll pick it up. You're on.
Oh, god damn it. Oh, this is so classic.
I've been dying to read it, dude. Ever since what is it, Fall of the Mutants?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to dive back into some mutants.
I mean, look at this team. Mark Waid, Scott Lobdell, Tom DeFalco, Jeff Loeb, and Peter David writing. Pencils, Andy Kubert, Joe Madureira, Paul Ryan, Mike Wierengo, Adam Kubert, Pasquale Ferri, Mike Diodato, Carlos Pacheco, Ian Churchill, Angel Medina. Holy shit!
That's a pretty good team.
God, the coloring is terrible. No wonder they bought Malibu. Yikes.
Yikers. Yep.
Oh, man. Onslaught.
There's no shuttle shading of blues or yellows or reds. It's all just, there's a red, black.
You know what's really fun about reading books from the 90s, though? Is like seeing the hairstyles.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the fashions.
Yep.
God, it's
But awesome. Then, you know, we look back and it's like, some of that's sort of cool. in a kitschy way, you know?
Did you get a chance to watch those Malibu Ultraverse ads that I posted on Twitter?
Wait,
did I post them? No, shit, I didn't post them. They were in the show notes for Comic Talk Today last week.
Oh,
Yeah, all right.
no.
You gotta find the Diving into the Ultraverse episode and just check out. There's like four links in there for Ultraverse ads.
Oh, cool.
They're ultimate 90s.
I'll be looking for that. Sounds great. Sign me up.
Yep. All right, let's wrap this up. I'm gonna go read some
Sure.
Mother Effin' Onslaught.
And I'm gonna read some H.
How many pages is this? Let's find out. Comixology, don't let me down. Where's the page count? Damn it, I gotta back out of the issue to get a page count? What kind of garbage is this?
Don't let me down.
It
Be there for
is
me.
235 pages. Can I read this
Ooh.
before bed? No.
Of course you can.
I'm gonna go watch Stargate SG-1.
What? Come on. You go to bed. First and foremost, you better just go to bed.
No, I can't go to bed.
What?
No. Why would I want to do that? I gotta work tomorrow.
Right. That exactly there.
No, I need my relax time, bro.
Oh,
I
brother.
only read six comics today.
Damn. That's four more than I. Damn.
Oh man. All right, I'm gonna read some of this Onslaught, but I will definitely
Hey.
finish this by this weekend, so then I'll start Age of Apocalypse after.
Yeah, my Prelude is almost downloaded. I will have multiple devices, so
So
I will be
exciting, dude.
reading it up.
It's got the second best mutant of all time that is currently ruined at Marvel. Blink. She's ruined now. Ruined. They ruined it.
Will I find out why Wolverine is missing a hand?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I just remember seeing that on a cover somewhere.
It's great, dude. He had a relationship with Jean Grey. Spoilers.
What? He's always wanted a relationship with Jean
Well,
Grey.
he gets it.
Oh no, they bone.
It's not very good.
Oh,
It does not bode well.
does he get all slappy up inside that Phoenix pole?
Don't want to spoil anything, Nick. I
Well,
don't
you
want to
just
spoil it.
spoiled that they had a relationship.
Well, I
The
mean, yeah.
all I know is the prelude better tell me, it better leave me up to, oh, and now we're going to stop X-Men continuity and we're jumping to this alternate reality. Bye.
Dude, I don't remember if the comics did it, but that was a big thing.
Yeah,
Like, I
because it stopped
remember,
everything, even Green, right? Even like all the offshoot
yeah,
titles.
it stopped everything.
I want this prelude to completely explain that. Don't leave me hanging with that. Don't just jump me right into Apocalypse universe, damn it.
When did this come out? 94?
They, you know better than I. I was completely off capes and cowls in 94, so.
Let's find out. Prelude to Age of Apocalypse. God damn it. It
Just
doesn't
don't
tell
leave me
me.
hanging. Don't leave me hanging.
90. Yeah, it's got to be at least 94 because it includes. Prelude to Age of Apocalypse includes Cable number 20, and Cable started in 93, so it would be 94, 95.
Okay.
Good times.
Good God.
That was.
Am I gonna get some Cable? Am I gonna get some Bishop? Am I going to get some, who's the guy who can build anything,
Forge?
make into weapons? I want those three.
You'll get that. You'll get some of that.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, I'm so excited, dude.
I don't want to spoil it. You'll get some of
Oh, how many times have you read Apocalypse?
that. I don't know, probably like three or four times.
Damn. Oh, I'm so far behind. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Wait, Age of Apocalypse is unlimited too? Hang on a second. Oh, wait. Alpha.
Alpha.
Alpha. What?
What does that mean?
They need to quit with the confusion here.
I
What?
know. That's
What?
why I stuck with just complete Age of Apocalypse, because
What
there are
is
like
this?
Alpha, Omega, blah, blah, blah. Like, I had no clue what that shit was.
Okay, it's a different collection because this has the prelude.
What?
Yep. Because it's got Uncanny 320 21, X-Men 40 41, Cable 20, X-Men Alpha, and then Generation Next 1, Astonishing X-Men 1, Gambit and the Externals 1, Weapon X 1, Factor X 1, X-Men 1, Excalibur 1, Amazing X-Men 1. Yeah, that's weird.
So what does that mean?
so it's
Am I
got
missing stuff?
no, it's a different collection. It's got the Prelude to Age of Apocalypse, and then it's got part of Book One.
See, this is very confusing.
Yep.
Maybe I shouldn't read it. Maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't
No,
read
you should read it. It's really good.
it.
You should read it.
You're like, no, you were almost there.
I'm trying to think what my favorite characters in that were. So Blink for sure. Sabretooth is freaking awesome. I love Sabretooth in that. He's got this little like tiny Sabretooth guy that hangs out on his shoulder.
What the hell are you
Teeny.
talking about?
You gotta read this.
You are turning me off of this shit. What the hell am I doing reading
You
this
gotta
shit?
read this. My favorite character design is Sunspot.
Ooh, I love me some sunspot.
Yep,
Damn.
he looks like a samurai on fire.
Ooh, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Damn. I'm going through all my purchases. I have so many I still have to read for X-Men. Good God. And they're all good. It's all like Inferno,
Yeah.
Fatal Attractions, like all Executioner's Song, like all these big events that I never ever got.
I'd like to reread some of that. Executioner's Song was awesome.
And I also have Apocalypse War, which I read the first trade of, but guess what? I actually liked it.
Apocalypse War, is that the one that had like baby Apocalypse in it at the end?
I don't think, wasn't that in the Remender?
Oh yeah, that was Remender. Yep, you're right. You're
Yeah,
right.
X-Force.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you're right.
Yeah, this one was very interesting. So I might have to read that after. Well, I might just have to go a whole apocalypse down. Let's go. Executioner song, here I come.
Apocalypse Down, episode title.
Yeah.
Finally, we did it.
Actually, I would say Samurai on Fire. Like, that is so descriptive. Holy mackerel.
Oh man. Yeah,
Can't wait.
kinda. When you see him, tell me what you think.
All right. I'm so excited. Bishop's Crossing. Why haven't I had that? It's got one of my guys right there in the title. It's got to be about him, right? He's in the title.
He's
Come
in the
on.
title.
He has to be there. Damn it.
Bishop used to be cool, man. What happened to that?
Bishop is cool, period.
No, like
You
he's
get
all right, he's still cool, but he used to be a lot cooler.
a good writer on Bishop, he would effin' rock.
Yeah.
I liked Bishop when he was in the Straczynski Cable run.
Yeah.
He was a lot of fun. Damn it. See, you're sending me down. You're sending me down all these paths. Right when I was out of X-Men, now I'm back in. Mutant Genesis, it's waiting for me. The skinning of souls, I don't even know what it means, but it's waiting for
Dude, I bet I'm gonna reread this and just be like, what the fuck am I reading right now?
me. In a bad way? You think it passed you?
I don't
Like
know,
the
man.
90s?
I hope not. I mean, I reread it not that long ago, like 3 years ago, maybe?
The only way I could see that happening is all of a sudden you realize this is like 1,000 pages. And I could be reading all this new stuff. Because I've already been there, done that. I hope not.
Nah, I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be great.
I'm sure
I
you'll be
think what
all
I'm gonna
right.
do is I'm gonna finish the Alien Omnibus today and tomorrow, and then tomorrow I'll start Onslaught, and then after Onslaught, I'll start Age of Apocalypse. So this weekend.
Jesus. Man, look at you. I love it.
Gotta
Just
read some
love it.
comics.
They're the best. Why
They
wouldn't
are.
you want to read? Why wouldn't you want to read some comics?
You're
They're the
right.
best.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
Welcome to the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore and myself, Martin. You can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerd Legion. We have an email, but I don't remember what it is, and I don't check it, so it doesn't matter.
No idea.
We'll be back next week. And then after that, we'll probably be off, Nick, because after that is Christmas week. Because this episode comes out in the future for us.
But we don't take weeks off, so you will have an episode.
There will be an episode. I don't know what it'll be, but
We
we
don't
won't
know
be
yet.
recording that week. Maybe we'll do an episode on Age of Apocalypse.
Oh, don't tease me like that.
Oh, that'd be great. That's what we should do. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.